Big Mum.
Well, I'll say this for One Big Mob. This is the first song that I had to restart when I was listening to it last night because I enjoyed it so much.
Because it's so good, yeah.
It carried me away.
Yeah. A brilliant beginning.
Yes.
I think it's Navarro. Everything comes together on this track, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, I say everything. We'll get to the ending later on.
Yeah.
I mean, and the middle, it goes on for too long.
Yeah.
The beginning.
That's my exact point about the song. It fills you with confidence, and yet it ends up filling you with disappointment.
I've just done a couple of notes whilst listening to it, and I agree. It's a great beginning, and Anthony's delivery on those verses is phenomenal.
It's much more what we're expecting from AK.
But it's even heavier than we've heard from the Chili's ever before.
Yes.
With that kind of delivery,
yeah.
I think, definitely.
It's brilliant. Great delivery on the chorus, and on the verses. Sorry, and the chorus is brilliant.
Yeah,
but there's an issue. There is a deep lying issue with the song, and that's the fact that it gets lost twice.
Yes, it does. It does. I think it gets lost three times, but
yeah,
we'll come. I think, and I'll just say that Sam earlier on told me not to get too involved in the tunes because we're meant to be listening to them.
Yeah,
and I was singing them. But on that one, we were both up, and it's infectious. It's a brilliant song. But the breakdown, that, you know, the middle bit comes too early.
Yeah.
And you're just getting into it, and it completely it goes to a different song.
Yeah.
And that goes on for what, three?
Yeah.
Like two, that, 3 minutes.
That for me is An example of what the Navarro brought to the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah,
too. We're talking about one. Luckily, we're only talking about one album.
Mm-hmm.
But every time you think he's getting you going,
yeah, it quits.
For some reason, something happens.
Yeah.
That isn't what you'd expect, and this song is absolutely.
This is one of the songs. If I send to people in the pantheon of Chili songs, this could have been one of the best.
Yeah.
But I can't play it to people and say, listen to this.
Because of the middle.
And there's a lot of songs on this album that are exactly like that.
Yeah. But, I mean, having said that, listening to it as we just did, in a very small room, extremely loud.
It's fucking great.
Yes.
Sorry, I'll bleep that out later on.
It's a great song.
Yes, it is.
It's a very enjoyable song. and that is ultimately, I think, where this album falls. Absolutely brilliant, but there are times, and there are numerous times within single songs,
yeah,
where you don't know what's going on,
and it doesn't ruin the song, but it helps the song. Yeah.
Yeah, it helps the song and helps the whole album. And then the next song, and this is a great example of it coming up. Walkabout, you know, Walkabout out of this is ridiculous. But Walkabout on its own is a great song.
Well, at least Walkabout is a cohesive unit, but we're not talking about Walkabout.
No,
it was about One Big Mob. I'll say this about the good stuff about it.
Yeah.
Anthony's vocals on the middle bit.
Yeah, spot on.
They're brilliant. And I think they're done through a phaser. And you can hear that he's doing the high bits.
Yeah.
One big mob and one big home. And then the low bits separately.
Well, there are several times on this album, and due to the fact that I lost most of my notes, I wasn't able to reference it earlier. But the Swan's delivery, where he's become almost multi-layered, and he's had
to.
Yeah,
you're right. You're right, because he's got no
much
John.
Better he's got no John. Yeah, no John.
Now, who is that baby crying? Or that baby cry sound in the middle?
That's Dave Navarro's child.
Right. Did they force the baby to cry? Or was that?
Well, I thought so.
Sounds like it's a baby monitor.
No, I think what happened was that the baby was born, and then they told him that he wasn't John Frusciante's child.
Hmm.
He was, in fact, Dave Navarro's child.
Yeah, gutted.
And then, obviously, he reacted in that way.
I've got a guitar pedal point, which I know isn't your favourite.
Oh, yes.
It's a bit technical.
Well, I think I know what you're going to say, but please say it before. Would you like to predict it? No, I don't want to steal your thunder. I'll just tell you at the end whether or not.
And please remember, before I talk about guitar points on any of these podcasts,
well, this is the pedal point.
Sam normally talks about them first. He tells me what to say.
Yeah.
And then I say it, and then he says he might
confirm it.
So the DS2 distortion pedal, which we spoke about earlier. I know.
We do, yeah.
Watching a great video on YouTube, Navarro would do what I never do, which is turn that guitar pedal onto full whack, but use his volume control on his guitar to build up, to tame that distortion. And you can clearly hear it on the build up from the middle bit with the baby crying as it's getting ding, 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 and the guitar's getting loud. I think it sounds awful, but that's the way Navarro did it. He just gently turned it up on his volume, and I think the DS2 sounds best on full volume the way Frusciante plays it. And I mean, it's not a Dave bashing podcast, but
no, it's not, and therefore I don't think
I should ever bring it up.
Well, certainly not relating to the DS2.
I'd also say that build up coming out of that bit when it goes ding, 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 is too long. Too much drum build up.
Well, of course. Yes.
It's classic 1/100 minute. Now let's talk about the end, because I think we've got similar points to talk about. It should have another chorus at the end. And it's shit.
Oh, shit. That came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it does. The outro is bollocks. It's a great song, then it goes to crap, and then the other outro is a bit better, but it's got two outros, neither of which are needed.
No. And, well, you sound surprised.
I'm staggered.
I'm not surprised by this point.
You've heard the album multiple times.
I'm used to it. No, it's not just that, though. It's
But this is why you can't play this song to someone and say, look, this is a great Chili Peppers song. Because it's almost a great Chili Peppers song, if you edit 2.5 minutes.
Well, unfortunately, Ben, there are numerous examples of this on One Hot Minute.
Yeah, absolutely right. I'd just like to say also that he does say a boy named Sue in this song. Do I need to repeat the boy named Sue? Which is a reference to a Johnny Cash song, Boy Named Sue.
Which I think is a reasonably good point.
And shall we end on that one?
I think we have to.
Learn to end a song. I've got to say that about Walkabout. It's just another example of not knowing when to stop.
Well, unfortunately, I have to agree with you. Yes. A very good song. In parts.
I feel that it's them trying to do it. It feels to me like them trying to do a Chili song. It feels completely unoriginal.
For me, it's the first head nodder, which is nice.
Okay.
And it gets me going.
Yeah.
Makes me feel good, but leaves me empty.
Yeah, I agree with you, yeah. So, it's a nothing song for me.
Yeah, unfortunately. It turns into a nothing song. It starts nicely, flows in beautifully.
If something had happened, there's no chorus. That's the thing. It's just that verse.
Yeah.
What I do like about it is...
It's beautiful to see hear Flea. You know, it gives Flea... It's the first song where we really hear Flea. There are certain elements of it that I really do like, but ultimately, like you say, it just plods along.
It meanders.
Yeah.
And the breakdown, ga-ding, 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 it's If You Have to Ask.
Yeah.
And then the solo comes in at exactly the same point as it does on If You Have to Ask.
Yeah.
And it's formulaic Chili's.
Well, if it was formulaic Chili's, I think
it'd be much better.
Yeah, we'd enjoy it more than we do. I don't agree with that. I think it's...
I just say, you can see Chad and Flea go, what are we going to do now? And what works is if we go, boom, boom, boom. They do it on If You Have to Ask. They do it on Mellowship. They do it on that. And it's just doing what we know that works. And God knows all songwriters are guilty of it. And I've been guilty of myself. But I will say this about that.
I actually do like it as a song. I think you know, it's got nice lyrics from the Swan. I think he works hard throughout that. But
I really like his tone on it. He's very low, I think if you listen to it on headphones, you can really hear it's really bassy on this one. And it, I think it's one of his best low vocal performances. It's really good.
Yeah.
But and the guitar at the end, when they start going out of time, they start playing off time with each other, is brilliant. And then it goes on for another minute.
Mm. It's overly low.
Yeah. Quick guitar point, which I know you're always excited to hear.
Oh, another one.
Another guitar
point. I didn't realise this was going to be an every song
thing.
Yeah.
Well, as a guitarist, I do need to raise these points sometimes.
Yeah.
That guitar solo wasn't played through a guitar amplifier. It was played through a guitar that was battery powered and had a speaker on it that was mic'd up.
Mm.
And Dave played it with a battery that was almost flat.
Mm.
And it sounds that's gritty how it came, and horrible, but that's the sound he went for. And I think it works for that song.
I'm inclined to agree with you on that one. Only on that.
Only on that one. I've also got something that says Mice Cooking, but I don't think that's what I meant to write.
No, I think we should move on.
Okay.
Could you turn up the track a little bit, please?
Joker. Wow. What a song. I have to say that is probably my favourite song on the album.
Really?
I think so. It comes in with unbelievable guitar sound.
Yeah. I've got a guitar point to make about that one, which I'll do in a minute.
Is it anything to do with the D2?
No, it's to do with the Boss delay pedal this time.
Yeah, so I'm sorry about that, everyone.
And of course.
But, fantastic guitar sound.
Yeah.
Great lyrics, great vocal delivery. This, I think, is when the band, the entire band, are in sync.
Yeah.
As best as we hear them on the whole album. I don't think there's a better song on the album.
I think at this point, we need to acknowledge that it's about Kurt Cobain.
Please, let's acknowledge that.
Anthony wrote the song after he found out that Kurt Cobain was killed. And the first time I saw you, you were sitting backstage in a dress. It was about the Reading Festival where he was sat in like an old lady's dress and a white dress. He came out onto stage.
I think it's important to at least acknowledge the fact that at this point in the band's existence, they were coming into their early 30s.
Hmm.
They were now, unfortunately, over familiar with death.
Yeah. Well, they've seen Hillel go.
They've now this.
And River Phoenix, of course, which we'll get to. But on the chorus, on that brilliant chorus, when he's singing Left on the Floor, Leaving Your Body, that is just Cobain having shot himself lying on the floor in Seattle. And I find it a very powerful chorus. As it gets to that point,
it is. I honestly don't think there's a more powerful, emotive Chili song than this. I mean,
all the Chili songs.
As I speak now,
just listened to Joker at full volume.
Yes, exactly. And it's affected me.
Yeah,
I will admit it.
It's a really good song.
Yes, for the reasons that we've already stated, it's a good song. But not only that, as we see the Chili Peppers now in 1995, Dave Navarro, Flea, Kiedis and Smith, this is them at their very best as far as I'm concerned. And at their most mature.
That's interesting you say that, because I find this song to be very, very twee in parts.
Why?
On the chord selections.
Oh yeah, that's fine if you're talking about that.
But musically.
I'm talking about, you know, choices, vocal choices.
I will argue
choices
that
in terms of the way that the strings take it out.
Yeah, the
nice.
Strings are brilliant. We'll get to that because that's a fantastic ending. But in the middle of the song twice when it's going da 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 da.
You don't
guess
like
I know. I love your song. It's I find it twee. I find it like a nursery rhyme. And I don't like it at all. And I would love this song.
To be honest,
if it wasn't for that.
Yeah, that had never occurred to me as a problem.
Mm. It occurred to me the first time I heard it. What I love
when
about...
When was that? Just a minute ago.
Yeah, I'd not heard that song until we just listened to it before. No. What I love about this song is that wonderful intro at Guitar Point where Dave Navarro is playing one chord on that on a repeating delay.
Mm.
So it's going to do which you heard at the beginning. Then he plays over the top of that. It sounds great. And Anthony then says, can you turn up the track a little bit, please? And he's doing it in his lovely deep voice next.
His beautiful voice.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's great.
Now, that is a... I mean, whatever you said. But certainly when the Swan says, can you turn the track up a little bit, please?
Yeah, it's great.
That's beautiful.
When I was listening to it a couple of nights ago, I just started it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I just did a minute ago. So.
Yeah, you just want to hear that again and again.
But
then the guitar comes in, and the guitar on this song is
yeah, just, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's lovely guitar on this.
It's twinkly twinkly.
The bass guitar, I've always thought, because it swirls around, it reminds me of the ocean. And then when I was thinking about that, it sounds like the guitar off Pearl Jam, the song Oceans. It's got that up and down chorusy effect going from like side to side. It's a really great effect. Another quick guitar point. It's another example of the octave thing. The solo on this is what he's doing on a lot of stuff. He admits himself, it's great. Then John did it.
On the floor. For me, I struggle to find a better song than that in on this album, and therefore I think that's Navarro's best effort.
Well, we'll sum it up at the end, I'm sure. But what you said about the ending, I completely agree with. When the strings come in, I think it's very Beatley. It's Beatlesque.
Yes.
It's a lovely, lush ending to that song. It's one of the...
Is that a song that you think is possible that they could have written 4 years earlier?
No. Chili's 4 years earlier?
Yeah.
No.
Dave
bought something to this band,
yeah,
which John couldn't have bought to the band.
Yeah.
And I think going forward...
But not only that, I think on a personal level, a lot of the other members have been on journeys. And obviously, the personal losses, personal struggles, and Navarro's input.
Hmm. Well, I think what's happened is, you've done Blood Sugar, you've done Mother's Milk, you've done Blood Sugar, you've lost John, you've got a different guitarist then to do an album. And then moving forward... Some of that will stay in your DNA,
yeah,
definitely. And there's stuff on and Callie and by the way, were definitely John focused albums. But I think there is stuff in here which Dave bought, which has carried over more to By the Way.
Mm.
But it's not
in all of them.
Yeah, as we said, if it wasn't for this album, the Chili's, we wouldn't have the Chili's now.
No,
so it's not a bad thing. And also, on the Beatlesque point, out of one ear, there's a very sitar-esque guitar, which I think the Beatles brought to popularity during the late stages of their career.
And I don't think that's the only time you hear that on this album, actually.
No, I think we're going to get it a bit later on with another song. Or maybe an earlier song.
Yes.
We didn't mention it.
No.
Maybe we'll just go back and edit that in. Sitar. Sitar. Just got that for the breaks. Okay, are we done with Did Jerker?
I believe we are.
A great song.
Yeah, unbelievable. Very pleased with that song.
One Hot Minute, and it pains me to say that such a potentially great song is fucked up so many times, especially by that ridiculous ending.
Yes. The ending is disappointing.
It's so ridiculous that it's another song on this album that I can't say to someone, this is a great song.
Take it.
You listen.
Take it to the ear. No, I agree. It's heavily frustrating. However, it is a great track.
It's brilliant.
It's a great track.
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, we were listening to it then.
Yeah, we were well into it.
We loved it.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about the good points.
Okay.
Once again, Chad shines like a beacon.
He does.
From above.
They've never been heavier. And when
he sounds unbelievable.
Yeah, no one hits those drums like Chad.
No.
And when he first auditioned for the Chili's in the Mud's Milk era, before Mud's Milk, what did Anthony say? He eats drums for breakfast.
Yeah, which apparently is still true.
But that's why he's never hungry.
No. Well, just incredible. And this album for him must have been an absolute joy. Because it fell right into his... I mean, it always falls right into his zone.
Well, he was a much heavier drummer in heavier bands, in metal bands, before he joined Chili's.
Yeah.
So this is... Yeah, you're right. This is coming back into his... Absolutely his zone.
His wheelhouse, if you will.
I will say, though, it's a shit ending. It's also a rubbish beginning. You don't need all of that discordant bass at the beginning.
I know, I like that.
Why?
I just don't find that a problem.
I find it to be another point on this album where they've got no riffs. And so a lot of songs come in straight on the vocal and they're just making noise.
Yeah.
Before
it comes maybe, out. Maybe.
No.
Yeah.
I've got an Ebo point. As in Ebo the letter by R.E.M. I should have brought up in One Big Mob. The Ebo is something that a guitarist will hold on it. Sorry, it's a guitar technical point. Sam, would you like to...
Oh, sorry. You just woke me up.
Yeah. An Ebo is something that a guitarist will hold on a string. It has a magnet in it. It's battery powered. It will vibrate one string. And so it will drone like a violin. It's in the middle of One Big Mob. And it's also in the middle of One Hot Minute. It's always hanging before you say something silly. I enjoyed hearing it. I wrote down great middle. But it's too long at the start. Even that middle eight where it breaks down. It goes on for a bit long before it comes
in. Yeah, well, it's...
All I've got is bloody... too long. Intro too long. Too long in the middle.
I wrote all sorts of stuff about this.
Well, let's hear what you got to say.
But the point is, as you say, it's a great song, frustratingly constructed.
I say it's a great flawed song.
Yeah. And that, unfortunately, that speaks for the whole album.
Hmm.
And that's your problem. But, having said that, I have another point which you might not have picked up on, and I don't know anyone else who's listening to this will have picked up on.
Okay.
Talk there is screaming that can be heard at the end of this song.
There is, you're right.
And when I was listening to it last night, it dawned on me that might actually indicate and be a result of internal frustrations. That may be the band screaming, saying, we want to be something that we cannot be anymore.
You might be right. Who was screaming?
The band.
Ah.
I'm pretty sure it's Flea.
Yeah, I too have
heard. And I think, although actually Flea has actually gone on, obviously, to play with Jane's Addiction.
Yeah, he played with them before.
Joint. I mean, but that screaming for me, whether I think it's just, you know, me taking it to mean what I want it to mean, but I take that as internal, that the very guts of the band screaming to be heard. Mm. We want something else. We want to finish a song in a normal manner.
Yeah, we want to end the song. We
don't want to have a massive, ridiculous breakdown in it.
But it goes on for 45 seconds. Yes. You might be right.
And that's the screaming I heard at the end of this track.
I really do have a big problem with the song, because it is a great song, but that ending is ridiculous.
Yes.
It's another song like One Big
Boy. Ludicrous.
Where you could say, how uplifting is that? Is that verse? It's about sitting. We were up there, weren't we?
Yeah. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's another fantastic delivery from the Swan.
Yeah, it is.
You know, this guy was supposedly in the grips of drug addiction.
Well, he was.
And supposedly. And
our lawyers have said that we have to say supposedly every time we say the Swan was in the grips
and
of drug addiction.
No, but not only... writer's block, you know, come on.
Supposedly writer's block.
This guy was fucking bringing it on every single time.
I won't have you swear on this podcast.
No, I'm sorry about that. You made me do that.
Yeah, okay. Well, again, let's just wind this one up. Great song, but massively flawed.
Yeah.
Can't play it to someone to introduce them to Chili's.
Not like Falling Into Grace.
I wouldn't play this to my worst enemy. Love about, I'm falling into grace with you. I'm falling into good. I said I'm falling into grace with you. That was Falling Into Grace. Thoughts?
Well, I can tell you don't think much of it.
What, by my body language? Sat across from
just
you.
Just taking body language into account, yes.
I think it's a deeply average song. I never listened to it, and if I didn't have to listen to it for doing this with you, I wouldn't have listened to it. That's probably the last time I'll ever listen to it in my life.
What is it, Soma? What is it that you find so... offensive. Abhorrent.
Yeah. Abhorrent and offensive.
Yes.
It's not abhorrent, it's not offensive, but these are things I don't like about it.
Reasons.
I don't like the voice box. I hate guitarists that use voice box. No, I don't hate guitarists that use voice box. I hate the voice box. Don't like when Slash does it, and he's up there. I just think it's ass shit. I don't like the chanting bit after the guitar solo.
No, I don't know anyone who does.
No, that's awful. On the plus side, I just don't think it's a very good song.
Okay.
However, I will say this.
Yes.
I think this one sounds great on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually feel as if, within the context of One Hot Minute, it is a left field track.
Okay.
It's a left field track.
It certainly is a left field
track. It's a left field track on any album, but at least we get to hear a bit of Flea. You know, you can hear that beautiful bass coming through.
That's all very heavily processed, but yeah, you can.
Oh, yeah, but man, come on. Come on.
All right.
And to me, you know, those instruments within the context of this song actually feel more cohesive than a lot of the other tracks. They feel at one with each other, and especially when the Swan comes in. It's a unit. They're a unit working there.
Yeah, I will say that. It's a tight, 4 minutes?
Yeah.
It's good for that.
Yeah, and it's a head nodder. It's another head nodder.
I did nod my head.
It's a second head nodder.
I'll say this. I like it because it reminds me of Extreme, the song Teacher's Pet, when he says, I treat you like a teacher because that's what you are. I won't be your pet.
When I listen to the Red Hot Chili Peppers, one of the things that happens to me a lot is I end up nodding my head.
Hmm.
And this song brings that, so that's nice.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you a fact about.
And?
I'm not going to give a fact about.
Go on. No, there are also some beautiful Frusciante stylings on the chorus. I just feel like it's a song which is often underestimated. Often underappreciated, and a song which delivers some very positive aspects.
Did I talk about the fact that the Ebo was in it again?
Yeah, you did, and I don't want you to talk about that again.
Fuck off. Right, well, I've done some research on the foreign language in it. It's obviously a very Indian influence song.
Of course.
Apologies if I'm being racist. Because I might not be talking about the right thing. But they say, I'm falling into grace with you. I'm falling into Gurumu.
Something like that, yeah.
Gurumu means coming from the persona of the guru, or to be in the character or personality of the guru. And it implies you are God-centered. So, great bit of research on that one.
I think that is absolutely essential.
This guy's well into it. Yeah. Right, we'll move on. Shall I be that game?
Another heavy one.
Another heavy one.
But I like it. I do. There's again. I am actually, as this album wears on, it becomes clear to me. I like this album a lot.
This was a song that I thought was utter bollocks for years.
Yes.
I don't like the beginning. It's another song that it's got a funny beginning. And then they come in.
But once you listen to it and break it down,
then... yes, it's a diatribe against organized religion, which I'm completely on board with. But the verses, I don't like the music in the verses. I think when it hits the choruses, it really raises up, and you get into that. Mm. I think that's a great choruses.
I mean, it's been so long since we listened to it.
Yeah. It's got great... I think it's Dave's best playing on the album. It's very Jimi Hendrix-y, doing chords based around E, essentially, and playing like variations on E. That's cool. But it's another song where they can't fucking end it.
Mm.
I don't have much to say about this, I think. I think I'm an angry man now. An angry drunk man. Who's just had to listen to Shallow Be Thy Game.
Good. Good, but somehow uninspiring.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's good, but somehow uninspiring. You are my God, you are my dog. You kept me close, love never lost. I called you here, but you said fuck off. Said your brother's a real punk. Something gonna happen, or something bad soon. Transcending flesh could be a breeze. Sending me Lord of the moon. Friends near death, you gave respect. Sympathetic intellect. Choices are for one and all. All we are at least that fall. That's all. Let's talk about transcending.
As always, when I listen to that track, it...
She's dropped me.
I've dropped everything. That's fine. It leaves me... That's how it leaves me feeling. It leaves me feeling shocked. I love it. I love it, but I hate it. And I don't even hate it.
I don't hate it. I love it, but I hate it, but I don't hate it. No. I think. Why do you love it?
Oh, it's got obvious qualities.
Because the first half's so fucking good.
Yeah. I think that yes, you're absolutely right. I wrote a very telling line. I thought it was telling.
All right, tell me about it, and I'll tell you if I think it's telling.
I wrote best half song I've ever heard.
Yeah, I feel very strongly about that. And when we played it in the Lukewarms, we just played the first half.
Played the first half, yeah.
Because. I mean, I know.
But
why
the thing is, the second half
is very powerful.
The first half of the second half is pretty good.
I think the second half of the second half,
for me, is where it loses it. It doesn't go on that long.
No, I think that's where Anthony's really. That's where the lyrics get really good.
I've written down here, the second half's not that bad.
Okay. I'm going to say, obviously, we're talking about River Phoenix here. This is about River Phoenix dying at the Viper Club.
Poor old River.
That rage at the end of the second half I think the lyrics are brilliant. And he's like, fuck the magazines, fuck the green machine. I love it, the line, see the human being. Because that's what killed, well, I don't know what to speak of. River Phoenix was a media god. No one saw the human being. I presume that's what Anthony's saying about it.
Well, alright, song-wise, what we're saying.
I think it's a great half song.
Second half. Reasonable.
It's another song where you play the first half of someone and you say, this is Red Hot Chili Peppers, and they'd be well into it, and then they'd say, what the fuck is this?
I can remember, you know, going back to the old days in the 90s, you know, singing that half track over and over again.
Yeah. What did you do?
It's just an unbelievable song.
Yeah. What, the first half?
Yeah, the first. Beautiful. So, For me, Transcending is...
It's got some of the strongest lyrics on the album. It's got some of the most beautiful bass and guitar.
Yeah.
At the beginning, it's fantastic. Yeah. The lines, when we were playing together, like no other, I love you, my brother. That always, obviously you are my brother. And I do.
It struck a chord.
I love you in a way. But that was great playing in the band and you singing those lines.
Yeah.
What and all we are leaves that fall, that's all. When this one says that's all. It's great stuff.
It's, you know, undoubtedly a very good song. So let's sum it all up by talking about the album as a whole.
Talk to me about the album then. You tell me what your thoughts are as a whole on One Hot Minute.
Mixed.
Yeah.
To sum it up, I would say mixed. To be fair, I actually really like it. There are some seriously sticky points in terms of over-elaborate endings.
By over-elaborate, you mean shit and too long.
Well, I suppose you could say that.
That is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But this is your summation.
So I will say that as a band, they were obviously in a very difficult period.
Mm-hmm.
Individually, they were struggling.
Anthony, back on the juice.
In different ways. Yeah, and not only that, Flea was, you know, Flea had his problems. No doubt.
Chad. Just having a steak and a beer.
Yeah, Chad has had one too many steaks.
What a hard life it must be for Chad.
Oh man, he beats it.
Fucking hell, yeah. Having a steak and playing the drums and having a beer.
To the Leakey.
Yeah. Well, the Red Hearts. Okay.
Yeah, so actual.
Let's sum this up quicker.
Yeah,
let's talk quicker.
No, I think it's a very good album. There are obviously some severe problems with it, which I guess, you know, the reason why we're here is to outline those problems.
I guess that is our job.
Yeah, well, it is. If we didn't do it,
who would?
We'd be doing a disservice to the listeners.
Huh. And right, exactly. So,
let's talk about them. Overlong songs.
Yes.
Overlong endings.
Yes.
Overlong breakdowns.
Overlong intros.
Yeah, overlong intros. You know, a lack of leadership.
Yeah.
A lack of belief in the band, I would say. Just a lack of brotherhood.
That's exactly, I think, you just hit the nail on the head. A lack of brotherhood. Mm. They were searching for something that they had with Frusciante. Because we know that the Swan in Scar Tissue has said he just thought the writing songs would be just like it was Hillel. With Hillel and with John. And he'd just turn up and write a song and that was job done. And with Dave, it wasn't like that.
No. And Dave, to be fair, Dave had his problem.
He did, but they weren't... You said brotherhood. And it does come back to that because Flea and Anthony and Hillel were brothers in arms.
Mm.
And then, obviously, LL Dice.
Wow.
But you get John in, and yeah, he's such a massive fan, and such a...
It's an unbelievable
replacement. He was a Hillel clone.
Yeah, an unbelievable replacement.
Yeah. They got an 18-year-old who plays a guitar just like Hillel, but he's even better.
Hmm.
And then...
And they were...
That's all Anthony's ever known in the band, as a songwriter.
Hmm.
And then John leaves, and you've got Dave Navarro, who isn't writing songs at all on it.
No. And he is a presence. You know, a personality within the band.
Well, he's a strong personality as well.
Yeah, exactly.
He seems to be a nice guy in the videos I saw. But I find One Hot Minute to be, as I think, like you said, a deeply frustrating experience, because you just can't put it on all the way through and enjoy it. The first half, I think, is great. Warped, Aeroplane. I do personally enjoy Deep Kick a lot. My Friends, Coffee Shop, tails off a bit for me, but the back half is too many stop and start songs. And One Big Bump, though, could have been my favourite Chili song ever, if only they'd have had the discipline to make it that way.
Which they didn't have.
Okay, I think that's going to wrap it up for the unbelievably long One Hot Minute podcast.
Though how it happens in this particular establishment, we discuss it long and we discuss it deep.
And long.
Long and deep.
Breathe it in.
Breathe it in. Breathe it in deep.
And that was University Speaking Episode 1. We'll see you next time on
University Speaking
Podcast.